think I have to admit.
Hey, Rob.
Yep.
You're not muted. You might want to mute yourself right now.
It is 5:58 and we will start in a couple of minutes. Again, we will begin in about 1 minute. Testing the sound to see if you can hear. We haven't been saying a whole lot so far, so we're just trying to get everything prepared. If the sound doesn't work, a lot of Zoom meetings, I recommend that you log off and then log back on. She said she was coming in. Are you still seeing presenter mode? Are you seeing everybody?
I'm seeing, I've stripped everybody. Hmm. You know you're recording right now, right?
Yeah. I think I said it so it recorded right from the beginning, so.
Oh, you're
not doing
it. That's fine. You could stop it and start it again
in
the presentation so people don't have to sit.
Go through all that. All right. I think in the appreciation of everybody's time, we'll go ahead and get started tonight. First off, I'm Rob Bush, Superintendent Schools of Edgewood-Colesburg. I want to welcome you and thank you for taking the time to spend with us tonight. Thank you for the families and the students and who've been so patient here during since March, really before the pandemic really started in Iowa or before schools were closed down. I know some of the staff had to worry about a speech contest, and we had an FFA contest that we really had to. We were scrambling around to try to make work the weekend before we closed school, beginning that Monday. So I want to thank all of those involved with all the efforts that you've made so far, your patience, your understanding, the empathy that you're showing the staff and everybody involved in this process of uncharted waters. We appreciate your efforts in helping your children learn. The staff provided some opportunities and we appreciate those efforts that you made in helping your students kind of try some of those activities to kind of continue on the learning process. A big shout out and thank you to the staff that provided those educational materials under some short notices and had to learn a lot of new skills. Mainly the educators usually spend some summers improving skills, but this spring and summer they've required really much more of a commitment. Staff have really stepped up. One of Stephen Covey's habits is to focus on win-win. We're doing the best to provide a safe environment for students and staff and also provide great learning opportunities. We're facing unprecedented times and there aren't a lot of easy answers. Keep up. We appreciate your support. Keep that coming. Keep giving us advice and keep those questions coming. That really helps us to develop our plan and helps us to continue to make the best possible learning environment for your students. As you hear from numerous people and numerous times during this and about return to learn plans, these plans are all subject to change as we gain more information. The administrators just sat through another Department of Education meeting today, and one of those questions were about, you know, if somebody has COVID in a classroom, how long is that going to last? And one of their directors was at a meeting and trying to come up with guidance for us. So that's forthcoming in the next week or so, we hope. As we go into tonight's forum, as I've reviewed other schools' return to learn forums, I've also noticed that they don't get through all the questions. So if we don't get all the way through all of our questions tonight, please send those to the COVID email address and we'll try to answer and update those as quickly as possible. So again, thank you for your time and effort and appreciate all the support you've given us so far. And we'll continue on this journey and make the best learning opportunities for our students as possible. So I'll switch over to our presentation mode and we'll kind of go through that and we'll have the question and answers at the end of the presentation. Again, kind of welcome. Please enter through the chat. We've got some staff members monitoring the chat box. Like I said, I can't guarantee that we're going to get through all the question and answers tonight. And so we'll update those as soon as we can after the town hall Zoom meeting. We'll have newsletters coming out in early August outlining more of the details. And we are recording this to be posted to our COVID tab on the website. Again, remember, we're all in this together, and we're going to really, I guess this is me, ongoing process, and it's probably going to change on a daily basis, it seems like. So again, appreciate your understanding in that part of it. Our guiding principles are student and staff safety and students learning. That's what we're in the business for, is that student learning. We're trying to prepare for our future. And there for future. Hopefully as the world creates and more challenges, we'll have educated students in the future that'll help, I guess, solve some of those challenges that we create on our own. And again, one of the guiding principles, things will change in this business. And so keep that in mind. And we already went through that today as we looked at a few items on this and our plan, and we keep changing and we'll continue to do that to, again, make the best learning environment we possibly can. Agenda, I think whatever we can do to prevent, we'll try to prevent the spread of the virus, and we'll make sure that we share those plans with us, and we'll kind of continue along those way. And the why, we're going to present why we want to go with the model that we're choosing. And then we'll talk about our face-to-face learning, which is option one, our option two, the hybrid learning, option two, the online learning, option three, the hybrid learning, and then kind of finish out with the question and answer. As you've heard all along since the beginning of this through this department or the Center of Disease Control, we're following some guidelines, and prevention is key. So we need to know how the virus spreads. They're finding out that it really spreads through the droplets and sneezes and coughs and those types of things. So anything we can do to stop that is key. We need to wash our hands often, avoid close contact with people when possible, cover our mouth and nose with the cloth mask or cloth face coverings, clean and disinfect regularly, and then monitor your health daily. I think that's key, that we stay as healthy as possible so our bodies can fight some of the virus or some of the diseases away from us. Personal protective equipment, face coverings. We've struggled with this back and forth, but today we finally made a decision that we are going to go with face coverings will be required for all staff and students in areas where social distancing is not possible. So our transition times, our buses, our lunch lines, those types of areas where we just can't keep that required 6 feet apart. Face coverings will be required in the classrooms that require face coverings. And again, that may vary depending on the size of the room and the numbers of students involved there, but we're going to require them in certain classrooms also. With the spacing on the buses, we just feel that the face coverings are definitely going to be required. Dealing with school issues, face coverings must be appropriate and provide the amount of right coverage. We'll be determining what's appropriate here. We have t-shirt issues. I'm sure we'll have some face covering issues too, but we're going to have to address those. And again, please work with your student to be appropriate. Hand sanitizing. Students and staff are encouraged to carry their own personal bottles, but we'll have stations provided throughout the buildings. And each individual rooms will also have hand sanitizers in there. Face shields and gloves will be available to staff upon request. Again, the why part here, the American Association of Pediatrics says, although children and adolescents play a major role in amplifying influenza outbreaks, to date, this has not appeared to be the case with the COVID-19. A lot of evidence has indicated that children and adolescents are less likely to be symptomatic and less likely to have severe disease resulting from SARS or COVID infection. That study is available, and the link we'll post this, and the link is available through the website or through the American Association of Pediatrics. Again, I think we really struggle with the balance between what harms students and adolescents and families, and also the need to educate, or the balance of keeping somebody at home and trying to educate online versus being the benefits of having the face-to-face education process. So that's a big balance that we're trying to figure out what is right. And again, right now, Association of American Pediatrics strongly advocates that all policies that we look at for this coming school year start with the goal of having the students present in school. Again, from our survey results, I want to thank you for all those families that did respond. We had 286 families. We had 7%, or only 7%, which is approximately 20 families that had the concern of returning to face-to-face education this August. So we're really, we're looking at what the Association of Pediatric Doctors recommended and our survey results. We really looked at getting back to face-to-face education. So for all those reasons discussed and will be discussed tonight, we're looking at face-to-face education being selected as the district's primary method when returning to school on the 24th. If your family does have safety issues or safety concerns and you wish to discuss online options, please contact one of the administrative teams. Screening is going to be key. So if students or staff who feel ill should stay at home, there's a lot of guidance through the CDC. We recommend that students and staff are not allowed to attend school if temperatures are 100 degrees or above. This is very similar with the common flus and common colds that happen during the regular school year. So we're going to leave this right, the screening process up to families right now. But again, so much of this change, if we get guidance from public health that we need to do those as students enter the building, we will put those methods in place. Again, it's so key that if you do have a positive case that you report to the school immediately. We work with public health to begin the contact tracing process. And I think that is key to eliminate and have those people that are experiencing the COVID-19 virus to be quarantined and keep it limited to the contacts that we are making with students and families. So it is key that if there's a case that you reach out to the school district, and then we will reach out to public health and make sure that everybody's informed of the process. Again, it is so key that we have that open line of communication with families, the school district, and public health. To make sure that this is possible, that we can be in the buildings and continue that face-to-face education, we are custodians will sanitize tough touch or high touch surfaces each night using hospital grade disinfectant. These disinfectants have residue that affect viruses or kills viruses for up to 24 hours. We're going to increase the frequency of daytime cleaning of common touch surfaces. And custodians will also increase frequency checks of the restrooms to ensure that we've got the hand soaps and paper towels available. We'll also make additional classroom cleanings possible. And we've already inspected and will continue to inspect the ventilation and air handling systems in the building to ensure that they're working properly and we keep fresh air through the buildings. Transportation is probably one of our toughest areas. There's the numbers involved. We just have to make sure that we can't socially space people on the bus. So we're gonna require that students and staff will be required to wear face coverings on the buses. If you can, and I know it's not possible for everybody, but if you can, we encourage you to transport your kids to and from school. We're going to use signed seating to keep our families riding in family units. And normally when the past few years, we've grouped different grade levels together, like sixth graders and the kindergartners have been grouped together. This year, to begin the year, we're going to try to make sure that if somebody rides in on the bus, we're not going to transfer buses. So if they ride bus number 141 in, they will ride bus number 141 across to Colesburg. Same way if they're riding, we will have a little bit of transfer over on the elementary side, but to get back over to Edgewood. But for the most part, we are going to keep our students on the buses that they're riding. Instead of transferring them from one to another, we're going to keep that the same. And then also from the transporting kids across, we will seat students together in family units to allow mingling of different groups of kids. We're also going to clean those buses after the shuttle runs with the hospital grade disinfectants. And then for the most part, we're going to try to limit the number of pickups and drop-offs. And unless you really need to make a change or make an arrangement, please try to limit to where the kids or your students are going on a daily basis. So I know there's going to be times, but if we can, we want to limit those. And please contact the district so we can make arrangements ahead of time. Once they get to school at the secondary, the gym will be closed, except for the PE classes. So we won't really have the open gyms in the mornings. The commons will be open, but they must be wearing the face coverings when they're in the commons. Those students eating breakfast in the commons will eat in designated areas, and we'll try to keep the, and we will maintain that 6 foot away distance or social distancing away from each other. We also are going to require face coverings in the hallways to go in from their first period if they don't want to be in the commons. And the library space, we're going to see again numbers and see what we need to do there. At the end of the day for dismissal, students will again have on face coverings and be released at the normal 3:30 dismissal time. The elementary arrival, again, very similar to what it has been in the past. I would have you notice that we used to have students arrive and wait out front at about 7:45 to the 8 o'clock time period. Really, the drop-off, if you can avoid having them dropped off before the Colesburg bus arrives and wait till 8 o'clock, that is greatly going to be greatly appreciated. You can see what entrances they're going to enter at, depending on what they're going to do. And then we're going to allow students in the classrooms at 8:05. Dismissal at the elementary, we're going to dismiss the buses. Very similar to what we've done in the past at 3:10. Parent pickup, we'll bring those out, probably out the gym door is what we're considering. And we'll have cars come through the circle drive, and we'll, if you would, maybe in the beginning with, maybe have the name on a piece of paper or who you're picking up will kind of help us until we start recognizing family cars, and you can kind of flash the sign and we'll line the student up and bring out to you, but we'll kind of do those in an orderly fashion, and we'll just kind of, the first car in, we'll pick up the kid that we call out, and we'll send them on that way. And we'll get the students that are being picked up by cars out of there, and then we'll dismiss the walkers. And then finally, the Colesburg bus will come back from Edgewood approximately at 3:40. And again, we'll have more on some of the details on some of those dismissals and arrival things through newsletters and emails out to kind of help clarify things as we go. The classrooms, as mentioned earlier, we're going to have hand sanitizers in each room, and we'll have some out in the hallways. We're going to set the classrooms to maximize social distancing as much as we possibly can. And then teachers will be encouraged to take their students out for the class or outside for the class when possible. So we're going to try to avoid having students wear the mask all day. We understand that they're not comfortable, we're not used to them, and it is going to take some time. So we're going to, you know, provide some time in the day where students don't have to wear the mask. Breakfast and lunch. We're going to set up times where students can wash their hands or use the hand sanitizers before and after lunch. We're going to utilize classroom space to eat some lunch and reduce the cafeteria space to 50%. We may release and try to figure out some different lunch schedules to release them at staggered times to minimize the large lines. And then we're going to disinfect just like we normally do the lunch tables after each shift. Elementary recess, they started on the new playground today. I know there's going to be a lot of excitement to use some of that new playground equipment, but we're probably going to have to rotate different pods, cohorts, wherever you want to call them, to different areas of the classroom to kind of keep our cohorts together. So again, we will wash our hands before and after the recess, and we'll sanitize equipment each day. We'll try to find some different activities for students so we can kind of keep them in smaller groups. So there'll be kickball, walking, etc. And then we're going to have some social stories and some lessons to make sure that we encourage that social distancing. And again, like I said earlier, we'll break them into cohort groups and to use different areas of the playground. Transitions, especially at the high school level, where we will have, you know, different class periods, exchanging areas or classrooms, they'll be required to wear the face coverings during these transition times. We'll try to stagger the times as possible. We won't want students to be lingering around in the hallways and enjoying that great conversation as they usually do. So we're going to encourage them to keep moving along. And again, right there in the morning, we're going to have classrooms, and again during the day, ready, and we'll be open and ready for students to enter immediately between classes to keep that, allow for that social distancing in the classroom, but keep them out of the hallways as much as possible. We've received some questions about open house and seventh grade in orientation. Here it's listed. We've had to stretch out the time periods. Just to allow some smaller groups to come in and meet the teachers and then have that seventh grade orientation. So JK through sixth grade, you can see that on August 19th, we'll have some the 19th, we'll have times from 1 o'clock to seven. We'll use the Sign Up Genius. Preschool will have some different times available again on the 18th and 19th because those conferences take a little bit more time. And again, more information will be coming on these in the future. The seventh grade orientation, we're going with Monday the 17th. We've got the first group at 5 o'clock, and we're going to go with alphabetically by families, first names A through H, and the second group at 6 o'clock by families, last names I through Z. Again, we're going to have students that don't just have COVID, but they have flu-like symptoms. If they present that temperature of over that 104 degree mic or higher, or experiencing the symptoms of COVID, we're going to place those in a room and have them wear face coverings. The family will ask you to pick them up as soon as possible. Again, there's more guidance coming along with this about the quarantine, what will happen, and we'll work closely with Clayton County and Delaware County Public Health and follow that guidance. So I wish I had more information for you on tonight, but some of that is forthcoming from Iowa Public Health, and then they're working with the local county public health providers. Seems like athletics and activities, they're a part of the educational process. That's where we develop the teamwork, the commitment. There's a lot learned on the fields and through activities. We've learned already that the associations that govern these activities are providing additional information, and we'll provide that as soon as possible. Right now, you've probably seen some posts on our Facebook and website. The fall football schedule has already been changed to a little bit shorter season. So we're still waiting news or information on some of the other sports, but you can see that information is coming, and as soon as we learn about it, we share it out as quickly as we possibly can. So bear with us. We do require those students that are participating in activities, they're required, and you can find a waiver on our website. And if you haven't done already, please get one of those and get turned into the office as soon as possible. And we did learn that the 2019-2020 athletic physicals, the deadlines on those have been extended to December 31st. So if you've had trouble getting into the doctor and you plan on participating in a fall sport, you do have a little bit more additional time to get your physicals done. We got to honor a retiree, and we kind of goes with his advice here. His famous saying is, "You will know when we know." And again, we keep on hearing about we're going to get more information, and we keep on hoping it'll come sooner or later. And usually, it comes just in the nick of time, so we can start making some of those decisions that need to be made. Our option two is the online learning, and it can take a variety of forms, but very similar to what we did in the spring, but it won't be, last time it was just recommended. Unlike the spring now, there will be assignments and projects and assessments that are going to be required to be completed. Don't confuse, we've had some talk about people that have concerns about returning to learn, and they're talking about homeschool. Please understand that this online option is not the same as the homeschool option. So our online learning will be handled by our current staff. And so that's the way we're gonna plan to attack that. We think we can provide a great education both face-to-face and online. So hopefully work with us, and we will provide the best education possible. We've already had students quarantined this summer, so we anticipate students will need to be quarantined during the school year. And so we really feel that online learning is going to take place at one time or another. It's going to be very similar. I guess the format is we've got the one-stop shop, and we've used a pre-K-12 document, and we post that on the website. This will include Zoom links, assignments, tasks, and needed emails to communicate with teachers. We'll continue that process. But once again, remember that we've got required assignments, required logging in, The state is really up the ante. It's just, it can't be recommended anymore. We've got to make sure that we are checking up on students and making sure that they are proceeding towards our standards and benchmarks. And that is our ultimate goal, is making sure our students are best prepared for the future. The elementary, if we go online learning, we've tried to downsize, I guess in all areas, downsize the different formats that we're providing. We'll really focus on reading and math. We understand, we had families that we talked with during the spring that you'll hear that some schools are kind of going with set schedules. We understand that that's just not possible for all families. So we'll have, the sessions will be recorded, and we'll expect it to be probably 15 to 30 minutes for science and math each, or science, what am I saying, science, reading and math. There'll be also additional assignments for other subject areas and for the specials like music, tech, PE, art. Those will be provided also. Again, these will be required assignments that students have to complete and turn in and get some feedback from our teachers and staff. Again, if this happens, we'll try to get the technology devices home with students if we know about it prior to the end of the day. If it happened over the weekend, like it did this past time, we'll plan to get those devices out to you as soon as we possibly can. And shoulders. Should have brought a bottle of water. Didn't know I was going to be doing so much talking. The second option, or again, we continue with the second option, the online learning, the secondary. Again, we'll have that one-stop shop available, but if a sudden closure happens, these assignments and due dates will be posted the following day when announced. For long time or long-term online learning, initial weekly assignments will be posted by the 8 a.m. each Monday morning. Students will complete all the assignments and submit their work by the timelines established. Again, I got to keep on going back. It's not going to be like it was in the spring necessarily when it comes to doing those assignments. These assignments will be needed to be completed to show that the students are growing towards those standards and benchmarks. One of the concerns that was really expressed during the spring was all the different platforms that we were using or school districts were using. We tried to narrow that down a little bit. It would be nice if we just had one platform, but it seems to meet the needs of all students in all different grade levels. It just didn't seem possible for us. And I think other districts were finding that out too. So the pre-K through second grades is going to use the Seesaw platform. And that'll be the way that the staff communicates with students. And it's a pretty simple platform, and students can, again, preschoolers, I think a lot of them can handle it. It may take some time with families a little bit to learn some of the techniques, but I think it can be done. The third through sixth grade will focus on the Google Classrooms, and seventh through 12th grade will either use Google Classrooms or Schoolology, depending on teachers. We'll continue to use Zoom. They're bringing me some water, so I'm choking up, and I appreciate it. Thank you. And again, these Zoom sessions, we understand, like I said earlier, that they can't be live for everybody, and so they will also be recorded. Going back to what's different this year, we really want that face-to-face. That is our key, but we understand that we may not control that. And then after we went through the experiences in March and April and May, we just know that not everybody can be on live all the time. So we're gonna go with those pre-recorded lessons. We're gonna keep providing those learning resources through Google Classrooms, Schoology, and then Seesaw. And then, as in a normal day, students will be assessed in a variety of ways to determine the student's level of progress towards mastering those standards. Students will need to complete those activities by the day given by the teachers, so that feedback can be given in a timely manner. And in most cases, we'll have daily check-in for the class as well, to kind of make sure that, you know, we are making process toward our progress towards meeting those standards. The one that's kind of caused us probably the most grief, and really we kind of got thrown a curveball last when the governor made the proclamation. We were kind of planning to go, if we had to go with the hybrid model, is basically what it's doing is it's reducing our numbers of students, so it's easy to keep that social distancing in our classrooms, in our hallways, and those types of situations. So the hybrid model, we're basically planning to bring about 50% of the students in. We were originally planning on bringing it, I shouldn't say that for all grades, so, but for the third through 12th grade, we were planning on an AB schedule, and it looked like we were going to go Monday and Tuesday, and then have everybody do virtual learning through Wednesday, and then bring the second group in and do the face-to-face on Thursday and Friday. But the governor basically gave the mandate that students need to be, if we're going to go with a hybrid model, need to be in class 3 days or 50% of the time. So we'd have to, basically what we have to do, instead of doing virtual on the Wednesday, we would flip-flop that between our AB groups. So kind of reviewing this and slowing this back down, taking a little bit slower here. Like normal, our preschool students would attend Monday through Thursday in a face-to-face setting. We would have to break up the classrooms and find additional space in the building, and we've got kind of the plan for that. Same way with the JK and second grade students. They would attend regularly face-to-face Monday through Friday. So for our hybrid model, we're going to spread out our students at the elementary and make sure we have a little bit more social spacing and allow more space for that. At the third through 12th grade level, if we need to go to the hybrid model, we're going to come up with we have an AB schedule. And again, basically, if they're not at school, they still have learning to do virtually. So they're not just learning two days a week. They would have requirements and assessments and those types of things, check-ins every day. So definitely, like I said, this is definitely not like our spring, but this hybrid model is definitely a different beast. We're working on developing these AB, I guess, list, and will be shared if needed. We're trying to get them even. We're trying to keep classes, family. First of all, our first goal is to keep our families together. Second of all, then we're trying to work to keep our classes even, so we don't have an elementary or high school class that comes rolling in with two kids on one day and 18 kids on the other day. So we're trying to make sure that we're looking at family units, the class sizes, and those types of things as we prepare the AB list. At this time, we're going to kind of look at, you know, answering as many of those questions as we possibly can in the 10, 15 minutes allowable. I did get a little bit through here faster than what I kind of expected looking at. We had 30 some slides to kind of get through. If we don't get a question answered tonight, or if you think of something later, please email us at our COVID@edge-cole.k12.ia.us email address. I don't really want to show you my inbox right now because I was gone last week on vacation, and the last couple days we've been working on this presentation and we're working on a return to learn plan. So my inbox is normally overflowing, and the last couple of days it is even worse. So if you need to get a hold of me, I encourage you to call the district office, or like I said, if it's one of these questions on our return to learn plan, please email using the COVID address. So I guess we start to battle or work through our question and answers. We've kind of got a team of administrators and a team of lead teachers helping us kind of get through some of those.
The first question on the page asks, will face masks be required for sports?
I look at that. There's going to be guidance from the association. I don't know. Volleyball would be the big question right now. I don't know what to expect there. On the buses, if we're going to an away game, we're we're going to have to, this summer we were limited, basically they really, they were required, but we tried to really develop a plan where we only took 13 passengers on a bus, and that's just not effective. So if we go to a away game or we need to use the bus, we're going to be using face masks on the bus. Guidance for those activities themselves are hopefully coming, you know, from the associations.
Another clarification question about physicals. Although the deadline was extended, the expiration date was extended for current physicals, new athletes must get a physical. That needs to be okay. Clarified.
So if you didn't hear that, if you don't have a physical yet, if you're new or new seventh grader coming in and you're participating in a sport, or you've never participated or didn't have a physical last year, you need to get that physical as soon as possible.
An easy one. When are students returning to school?
We're shooting for that August 24th. That's what we're planning with, and trying to really, again, like, put everything in place where that's going to happen.
Are you going to require, in order to return to school after being exposed and quarantined, are you going to require a test?
That's guidance. We were just in a, like I said, a webinar with the DE today, and that was a question that all school districts are working on, and we're waiting for guidance on that. I asked, or I knew some of these questions were like, who's going to be paying for the test? Right now, I checked into that. Some insurance companies are waiving that cost. I really, again, I do not see the district getting into the business of requiring the test. So that's going to become from public health, or what you're wanting to know as a family. So I think you're going to work with your own insurance provider or work with public health on who covers the cost. But again, I don't see the district necessarily saying, hey, you've got to go get a COVID test.
What about junior high sports at this point? Are they going to occur?
As far as I haven't heard anything that they're not, but we're waiting for that guidance. Again, we planned this meeting back in June, and all of a sudden, you know, as we get rolling, things kept on changing, and then we've got information, or they've been telling us the past couple weeks that a lot of guidance will come by August 1st. So we're just a little bit ahead of the curve and trying to get these. And like I said earlier, we'll get that information out to you as soon as possible through our website. We'll email it out. We'll post it on the Facebook. But right now, we're waiting for that guidance from the association and the DE or public health on some of these questions.
Some people might not be able to hear me, so you may want to restate these, but will masks be provided for students?
The question was, will masks be provided for students? Right now, we've ordered cloth masks for ones that I really feel will fit about fourth grade on up. I've asked for numerous samples from different companies. I'm really struggling with trying to find masks that fit the younger students. We can't provide masks on an on. I mean, that's one of our battles where it took me a long time to really decide whether to require a mask or not require a mask, because some students, I don't mean to throw stones, but some students can lose a pencil in about 2 seconds. So I was worried that what kind of battle we would have to battle if we required masks, but we just feel like that's an important step we have to take. So we're looking to provide the first mask for the students, but after that, I think we're going to have to rely on the families to really find ones that really fit students. And if you can right now, I probably should have touched on that basis, is if you could really try and have them wear them for some minutes during the day and get them kind of used to wearing masks around, and you know, that feel of a mask and breathing through the mask and all those types of things. I encourage you to, you know, find masks that fit, because I'm in that same boat. Is I've tried some different masks and they pulled on my ears and turned them purple and everything else. And so finding those masks that fit your face the best, I think, is key. And the sooner if you can try on some different masks at different locations or make your own, I really feel that that's going to be your best option.
Parents are wondering what the students will do with their masks when they're not wearing them.
Being a smart aleck, probably lose them. the question was, is parents want to know what the students are going to do with the mask and they're not, when they're not using them. And I had to be a smart aleck and say that they'd probably lose them. But I think we'll try that with the younger kids. We'll figure out lariats or something we can attach, or lanyards and stuff. And with the high school kids, it's just going to be like everything else. Carry with their books, their book bags, those types of things. That is why I think we don't want to get in the business of supplying a mask every time somebody loses one. I think we need some personal responsibility here. So bear with us and we'll bear with you and we'll try to make the best of this.
Checking temperatures. Will there be a thermometer in each room or what's the process for checking temperatures if needed?
We didn't buy a thermometer for each room. But we do have some on hand. You know, some of your kids that are students, if they've been involved with summer activities, they've experienced that. Oh, okay. So if we start being required to take temperatures, we do have a few thermometers. We will have to figure out, we'll probably have to enter through limited doors and stuff like that, but we will increase our amount of thermometers that we have in the district and make that available or cross that bridge, I guess, when we get there. But we do have some. We did purchase some this summer and are prepared to do some of the testing. It will take some planning if we are required to do all of the testing.
What is the date for registration?
August 12th. I better look. I believe the date for a registration is still August 12th. So
it is August 12th and they can do it online as early as August 3rd. And as many of you that can do it online, the better.
So hopefully everybody heard that. We're encouraging you to do registration online. It can begin on August 3rd. And we do have, again, we'll have the in-person, but we encourage you to do online registration this year. We're also waiving the fee. Last year you were charged if you use credit cards. We're gonna waive that this year to encourage the online registration.
Will parents or visitors be allowed into the buildings?
We're gonna try to really limit the amount of visitors coming into the building. So we're gonna have some guest speakers. It's sometimes hard to get away from volunteers, but we're gonna try to really work to, I guess, keep our cohorts and our numbers of interactions as limited as we possibly can. It's not going to be ideal, but we're going to make our most to be on the health side this year.
What happens if the parent doesn't feel safe to send their student to school due to health problems and with the COVID-19 still going on?
Again, the question was, if your parent, if you don't feel safe sending your student to school, please reach out to the building administrator. We are going to work to set up some online learning. We really don't feel that just going to homeschool option is the best. So we're going to, again, we're planning on, we understand that sometime during the school year, students are going to be quarantined. So we're going to have some short times that students aren't going to be able to be in the classroom. So our staff has really worked hard this summer to design lessons and work on their skills of being able to provide materials electronically. So if that is a major concern for you, I encourage you to reach out to your building administrator or myself, and we will work to find a plan and put together a program to provide the best education for your student and your family.
If parents choose to transport their students to school, do they need to commit to driving them every day, or will buses still be an option?
We would love it if you could commit every day, but we understand, so the busing will still be an option.
Band. Will band happen for elementary and high school students?
Getting guidance from them. Yeah, I think right Again, our early guidance was that they were recommending that some of those programs not, you know, happen. But I think they're really, again, they really see the benefits of the band, the music, those types of interactions, that type of learning. So I think they're going to give us more guidance to see how, what kind of precautions we can put in place to make those things happen.
What happens if a student has asthma problems and cannot wear a mask?
We will, again, we got to kind of finish up things, but we need to create a form where we're going to ask a few questions and we'll get your doctor's excuse. That is definitely an option. So if you've got that doctor's note, that information, that your student will be not have to wear the mask. We understand that and we'll definitely work with you on that issue.
Great question. Will the mentoring program still be allowed or will that be on hold?
I think it's going to depend on the safety of what our mentors want to do. Again, I think we value that program. And again, it kind of goes back to volunteers and people coming into the building. We'll run that check on our volunteers and stuff, but I see that being a valuable part of our educational process. So I see the mentoring program continuing. Usually they're meeting in rooms where they can social distance. It's a one-on-one environment. Here this fall, they can still continue those conversations outside even. Again, such an important part of our program. I think we need to figure out a way to make that continue or allow that to continue.
Is a face shield adequate instead of a mask?
That is a question, again, I met with public health last week, and that was a question that I was kind of asking and working on, and I haven't got the response on that yet either. So I'm waiting for a reply on that, and we hope, because, again, some of these situations, especially at the younger level, being able to see the lips, the mouth movements on the forming of the letters and the sounds is so important, and I don't know if you can kind of see that. Sometimes it's your social distance so far. At the elementary level, you know, a lot of work is done at those oval tables or those kidney-shaped tables. We're going to divide those up with some of those plexiglass shields and stuff like that. But we're making arrangements to make sure that we can be safe but continue the education process as best as possible.
For those families who have the medical concern and want to educate their students online learning at home with our EDCO teachers, is that for a quarter, a semester, day to day?
Again, we've been really hitting this the last couple of days. Patty, question on you at the elementary.
I would say it's easiest for the teachers to plan for a quarter at a time.
Okay. At the elementary, if you choose the online method, we think at the elementary it can be a 9-week or a quarter time period.
We can follow the same.
Ooh, okay. At the high school level, we think we can make the change it a quarter also. If that was a very, very surprised. For me, it was easier to go the semester, but if we can make it work at the quarter, we'll make it work.
I don't have any other questions on here.
As I started out this presentation, we're in this together. Your kids are our future. My philosophy has always been, I'm going to get old one of these days, and I always want to treat kids, and I'm going to be battling different issues. I want doctors. I want plumbers. I want our kids to become what they want to be. And education opens those doors to many opportunities. The scary part is, hopefully, I don't end up in a nursing home, but someday in the long lines, may need somebody changing my diapers or something. So I want to treat kids the best, and I want to provide them the best opportunities, and that's the way I look at it. Some of these things we're not going to do right off the bat, We're learning as this process continues. So keep communicating with us. If you hear something that's working great in another district, please share that with us. It may work here, it may not, but at least we can explore it. As you continue before August 24th, please follow the CDC guidelines as much as you possibly can. I know you need to see family. That was the same way with me last week. I needed to get out and see my family. I hadn't seen my parents since last summer. So I know that some of you guys have to travel. It increases your group, but I understand that. But please follow those CDC guidelines as much as possible. As with all viruses, if your body's healthy and you're getting that recommended sleep, I think your body can fight off this virus much better than it can if you're not getting the sleep, not eating healthy. So I encourage you to do those. Washing clothes and washing those face coverings, I think will be key. And again, we'll have this posted. We'll do different trainings at different grade levels, but the washing of the hands and using sanitizers is so important. Stay home when you're sick. So again, this was a big surprise to a lot of you about us requiring the face mask. We just, again, we knew it was coming on the buses, or we talked about it for quite a while about, you know, having face coverings used on the buses. But the more and more we got into this, and we feel like when we have those common passing times where that social distancing is going to be so hard to maintain, we feel that to protect our students and staff, face coverings in those situations are definitely going to be the best way to approach it. So I thank you. Again, if you're questioning, if you think about something later on, don't be afraid to, you know, send that email out. Check those frequently asked questions. We'll try to update those as much as possible and keep you posted. And again, as we gain the guidance from public health, the Department of Education, the associations that govern the sports and activities, we will share that information with you as much as possible, as quick as possible. So bear with us, keep the lines of communication open. Thank you again for your understanding, your empathy, and working with us. We got a great family. I really consider this school district a family, and we want you to stay safe. We want our family to stay safe. We want our staff to be safe. I appreciate everybody's time and effort and you know, traveling on this journey together, and keep up the good work and stay safe. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you.